glory. Yes. Thank you, Harry, Robert, whichever one's up there. Hallelujah. I hear Carl. I hear him. Hallelujah. Girl, I'm not going to take many rabbit trails today. I really believe you're going to enjoy the message today. We're going to continue attacking emotions out of Hebrews 12. I guarantee if you have ears to hear, and if you're plowing forward for the hope of the gospel, you will be blessed. Because I don't wake up in the morning to attack people. Satan whispers that when he's talking to me. No, I'm not. Not directly. But if what I say you're going through, and it's not an attack directly at all, but the word is being preached to you indirectly. More than likely, when Pastor Bronk preaches or when Gary preaches and they talk about certain issues, more than likely there's some in the body of Christ that are going through it. That doesn't mean they're attacking you. That means what they're speaking, some are going through. We shouldn't get mad. We should take it, absorb it, repent, and run with it. Amen? Amen? All right. Hallelujah. I feel by the Spirit of God that we have a capacity crowd where we only got sitting room only. That was a joke. Hallelujah. Well, I'm tickled pink, man. I'm tickled. But you could be turning to Hebrews 12 for right now. We're going to cover some good stuff. But first, before we do that, Rex is going to come up and share a brief testimony with us. And then we're going to go into the Word and we'll break in a little bit and embrace each other. But I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the Word. Not only has He been teaching me, but He's been renovating me. I don't read the gospel to teach it. The gospel is the power of God. It renovates our mindset. Completely transforms our mind. I don't preach it to quote it. I don't read it to quote it. I partake of the gospel to be a walking epistle seen of all men. I don't care if I don't preach, though I'm excited now like I've never been. I'm excited. I had to tell Pastor a month ago, Pastor, I can't do the Wednesdays because I've been going to dialysis late and I can't make it, but there's been a super grace on me lately. A super grace on me, a great grace, Acts 3, that I can't explain, but it's on me. I'm telling you, it's on me. And you might say, Homer, you're on an emotional high. Well, it's an emotional high. It's lasted 7 weeks. It's called God's great grace. So if you can, turn to Hebrews 12. In the meantime, Brother Rex, will you come up and testify, please? Rex is coming up. Give him a nice round of applause, please. Pretty please. Come on, Brother Rex. Hallelujah. He's back from North Carolina or Georgia. Rex, where was it? Oh, here you go, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be back home for sure. We had it was a tri-regional event for the Tribe of Judah Motorcycle Ministry and up our cabin area up there, and we had the three regions were Alabama, and each region is like a 500-mile radius. So I'm Florida regional, so that Florida is just basically its own because it's so big. And South Carolina, we got Pastor Byron up there. He came up with a couple guys, and so he's just South Carolina. And then Little Rich, he's also a pastor in Alabama. And guys from Tennessee and guys from Mississippi were supposed to come, but they didn't show up. And Tennessee, so we had about 35 people. And it was really good. We were able to, just kind of what's going on with all of us. I mean, the devil's really trying to, cause confusion, He's trying to get us to, abort or, he only has a say if we go into that emotional realm. I mean, he has no say in the spirit, So he's always trying to get people to engage in that arena through offense, or through whatever little thing, through infirmity, Those eight spirits that Pastor Bronk had mentioned, I mean, they're active. But, you know, I love the word because the word says that we know the wiles of the enemy. And another really good scripture that we did some good teaching up there. Those two pastors did a real good job, and I also did too. But we just have to remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities and the powers and the evil forces in the heavenly realms. I mean, that's our that's where we war. If we war in the natural or take offense or I think you need to apologize to me or go any route in that area, we're bait. That's bait. Being baited. Because that is, the word's very clear on that. We don't engage in that arena. And we're all learning and growing. And the greatest thing about that I can say, even for myself, and I'm speaking of myself, the grounds that I have gained just personally, and you can see the anointing increases when you don't have offenses or when you're not playing those games. I remember that time that Dave Roberson was here, Homer, real quickly. Remember that one time Dave was here? And he had some other agendas to speak of, you know, but he could not get off of aught. He said, don't have aught with nobody. And it was night after night after night. He couldn't, the Lord wouldn't let him get off of that. And, you know, we have ears to hear, but sometimes we have to be told over and over and over again. And even for here, for our church, right here and now, to hear, you know, over and over again, Pastor, just emphasizing the prayer, the power of prayer, and to do the steps that we know to do. And not like we're, you know, perfect at it, but the reason that's being hit so hard and to a point where I'm not tired of hearing it, but I've been there. Is can we speak of anything else? Well, see, when I'm even thinking that way, guess where I'm at? You think I'm in the spirit at that point? No, I'm not. I'm in a natural place, thinking, oh my God, you know, it's the wrong place to go. So I'm so thankful these days now that I'm quick to, and I thank God. I thank God that I'm quick to see it. And when I get chastened of our Lord, I get excited about it because not only did I hear, but now I have the greatest opportunity to do that. That chastening is because He loves us. It's not because He condemns us or because, you know, and some of us, I don't know about some of you, but me, for instance, my past would be I never thought very much of myself. So it was very easy to, I wasn't even able to really to receive forgiveness. I mean, I would receive it, but the Lord corrected me even on that not that long ago. He said, well, son, if you truly receive forgiveness, then why don't you forgive yourself? And I did to a point, but and I wasn't trying to be rebellious, wasn't trying to be negative. It's just been a real hard thing sometimes for me. But anyway, back to the enemy. We have the victory. And another thing that Pastor Bronk and Homer speak of too is I was remembering this today. You know, It is a battle, but if we stay in the spirit, it's not really a tough battle. The battle gets tough if you're not in the spirit. But if we stay in the spirit, it's like, it ain't that hard. It isn't. And the greatest thing about repentance, and it should be like almost like fasting. We want to fast all the time. We should live a life of repentance and wanting that correction, because believe it or not, we all have limbs to chop off yet. We are not the spotless, perfect bride that He wants to return to. But I know we all want that. So just beware that I guess He's pretty scared or pretty worried lately because He's amped up some things, you know, trying to get us to engage. Well, we don't engage with that. We're just not going to do it. And like I said, the greatest thing, if we do, is you can just quickly repent and say, Father, I see I did wrong here. And according to Him, it's as soon as we go like this. Because repentance is turning the other direction. Right? But then receiving that forgiveness from Him, because as far as He's concerned, it's as far away from the east as it is the west. He can never remember it again. We do. But as far as according to the clean slate, you know, that He talks about, being white as snow, boy, oh boy, it surely is. So that separation that the devil tries to do with us all the time, to drop the anointing in our lives, because he hates when our prayer avails much. So he's always trying to get us to engage in some kind of something negative. Even sometimes we don't even notice it. So my prayer is lately, and been for quite a while, Lord, if there is anything, like you hear pastors saying that a lot, if there's anything, Lord, show us, because we're hungry. We want to move in. But as far as that event went, it went really well. Me and Marcia, we came back here to rest. Because it was a lot of work, a lot more than we expected. But God gave us grace. We had to move the event from where it was to over by our place. And we found favor with a guy that I know down the hill that owns a bunch of land. And we were in the woods. It was really wonderful. And God brought unity in with these three chapters. And I was hearing stories, so they're similar with our stories. So the enemy's on attack, you know. But if we stay out of that arena, you know, we don't have to worry about it so much. And we're going to continue to learn and grow as we go. And that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, because we are more than conquerors in Christ. And we're together, you know. That spirit of division that was in that list and diversion, oh yeah, there. You could, can you see a little activity? But we just put them down. We're not going to listen to them. We're aware of. See, I love the word. It says we know the wiles of the enemy, and we do. You know, we stay in the spirit. So pray. Fast, right, Homer? And hey, here's a healed man right here. I mean, his numbers are going to be perfect. The doctors don't understand that yet, but they'll catch on, because he's healed and whole. Love you, brother.
Really love you too, man. I love me too.
I love you too.
No, I love me too. Amen. Good testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We were going to break, but I don't think the capacity. Just say hi to each other. Say, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, reach across the aisle. Say, hey. Say, you're a good looking chair. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm super hyped. I am. I can't explain it. I know I'm at a place in Him that even the slightest raise of the pitch of my voice to anybody just brings immediate repentance. Not even if I raise even the pitch of my voice, I say, oh Lord, I turn from this. Forgive me, Father. That's where we all need to be. I don't think there's anybody in here that's committing those deal-breaking sins, that fornication. I don't think there's anybody in here committing that. At least you better hope not. It's a terrible place to be. I believe the battle right now, according to a lot of the text messages that I received last Sunday, a lot of text messages, I had a little complaint. People thinking, well, you're talking to me. No, I'm not talking to you. You just revealed yourself. Really? When you go home and you think, I think Omerworth's talking to you, or he's talking to me, well, you just out of your mouth came out that you're guilty. Are you with me? Let that sink in. Be careful if you come to me. Say, were you talking to me? No, not directly, but what I said might have been something you're dealing with, so the answer would be not directly, but indirectly. Remember that. Don't take it personal. Just hear it. Have ears to hear. Repent and walk with Jesus. Amen. So I like where the Holy Ghost is taking me. I've concluded and concluding every day that you're not my problem. I've concluded and concluding every day that you do not have the power to offend me. I've concluded and I'm concluding every day that I will not give myself to a mirage. I will not give myself to contradictions. I don't care what I go through. I am born again, Holy Ghost filled believer. I'm not a feeler. I'm a believer. That's the problem with the church. We become feelers. If we feel it, our day is ruined. If you go by what you feel, you're an emotional person. If you're a touchy person, guess what? You will be touched. You with me on that? If you're a touchy person, you will be touched. And so we gotta embrace him in sonship and in grace and enter that quiet chamber and give him praise and adoration and adore him for his grace and for his blood. He owns us. He redeemed us through his blood. We are not our own. We belong to him. He purchased us with his blood. Amen. I believe you all believe that. That's why you're here. Check yourself. The number one thing about deception is to know that you're deceived. What's your ambition? What are your lusts? Not sexual lusts. What are you looking for? Money? Stability? Equity? Or is the striving of your day into that secret chamber and to experience him and to praise him and to be like Jesus Christ, to be renovated every day by his word and by the Holy Ghost, putting our life down, fasting, getting rid of those ugly things inside of us. Wake up in the morning first and foremost just to give him praise. Asking him for absolutely nothing. Just giving him what's his. A sacrifice of praise. That's what I want. You might say to yourself, Homer, you don't desire houses and cars because you don't work. Let me tell you something. I've had an NFL millionaire come to my house and offer me a $50,000 King Ranch Ford. A $50,000, he said, it's yours, do you want it? I said, no, sir, just be my friend. I've had a millionaire, nobody knows who it is, paid off my mortgage in my house, $110,000 in full, paid it off a year ago. Had another millionaire from Felton stop by my house all the time. Whatever you need, tell me, Homer. Me and your dad were great friends. I'm here for you. Don't go without need. No, sir. Just to be my friend. That same NFL millionaire, all the time, here's money. Always has a wad of money in his pocket. I said, no, man. Just be my friend. That same millionaire went to go to our house. My wife used to make him a salad. He wanted my wife to make him a salad. He used to go wash clothes. No mom, no dad. He treats us like it's incredible. But I just want him to stay my friend. The truck was good. My kid said, Dad, you're crazy. You should have took it. A $50,000 Ford King Ranch? No, man. Keep it. Just be my friend. That's where I'm at. And that is growing in me more and more every single day. My wife said the other day, I said, honey, we were talking. I'm going to get on with the message. I said, do you desire a bigger house? Immediately, no. I love, and I know she said the truth because she said, I love. She didn't say, I love our house. She said, no, I love my house. The my was for it. I just want to fix up my house. I said, do you desire a bigger car? No, I'll run this car to the ground. Amen. I like that kind of talk, baby. So what I'm saying is, in his presence, all your ambitions, all your will, they eradicate. And it's hard to understand if you're on the outside looking in, but that's the way of life. I'll say this before I get on with the message, Hebrews 12. And I say this with all humility. When a person seldom prays, and I'm not, again, oh, before God, I don't like making this about time. How long I pray is not your concern. It's just my joy and my love. But I found the people that agree, that disagree with me the most are those that don't spend time with God habitually. That's the ones that disagree with me the most, that they just don't have a consistent life in Him. But even if you 30 minutes a day, which is so commendable, read your Bible for 30 minutes a day, it's so commendable. But when a person is born again and they're inconsistent in their prayer closet, even with 30 minutes a day, and it is commendable, when you take a person that prays 30 minutes a day versus a man or woman that gives their life to the gospel, there's going to be a difference in the way you think. A big time difference. There's, as far as dying to self and trust, there's going to be a big, big difference. The person that gives their life to the gospel, you might say to yourself, they're crazy and out of their mind. No, no. Not that they're out of their mind, they're out of your mind. Are you with me on that? I'm not demeaning the 30 minutes. It's commendable. But you got to learn to trust, Pastor Brown. You got to learn to trust whoever preaches the gospel that's given their life to the gospel, because they're speaking the mind of Christ. Don't rebel. Take it, hear it, embrace it, and grow in God. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 12. We're going to continue pounding emotions, because emotions are so dominant in the body of Christ, amongst men and amongst women. Hebrews 12 is an epistle, really, in context. It's a bunch of Jews have given their life to Jesus. They were being persecuted for their faith, and they were being persecuted because they wanted them to revert back to Mosaic law. They were sanctified by the blood of Jesus, consecrated, made holy, set apart by the blood of Jesus. They came to Christ as Redeemer. But the Judaizers, or the Pharisees, or the religious leaders, came behind them, persecuting them, saying, you must return back to Mosaic law. And they were persecuting them. That's the whole context of the book of Hebrews. It's not really sin. It's, will you denounce your faith in Christ? Are you with me? That's just a summary of the context of the book of Hebrews. Are you with me? I talked to a good friend of mine today, Kurt from Tuscaloosa, and he just came back from a missions trip real quickly. I forgot, it's a country in Africa, Transylvanian or something like that. I don't know what it's called. Anybody can help me? Transylvania, or it's in Africa, trans something. And he told me, Homer, man, you talk about persecution. We don't know nothing about persecution in the States, nothing. There was a young lady there that had given her life to Christ, and her husband beat her and threw her out of the house, because it's mainly Islam. There's basically mainly Muslim. Her husband, she came to Christ, her husband beat her and threw her out of the house. She couldn't even go to the market, he said, Kurt said. She couldn't even go to the market to buy food at all. Another man got born again, and his wife and his mother-in-law kicked him out of the house. Why? Because he converted to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Sea. We don't know what persecution is. We're not being persecuted. What we face are emotions. And that's a terrible thing, when you allow your emotions to potter you, to tutor you. If you're not praying and spending time with Jesus Christ, you have no choice to default to allowing your emotions, your self-pity, your depression, mental anguish, anxiety. You will default to that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Even as a Christian, you will default to that, because that has become your daddy. But Kurt said, Homer, we don't know what persecution is in the States. People there are so ridiculed for their faith, yet they hang on with integrity. That's what I'm talking about. And he went on more, said more about it, but I can't remember what he said. But he did say that people were so persecuted there, but they're always rejoicing in church, dancing and singing before the Lord. He said, it's incredible what I saw there. persecution, but some of them will not renounce. They loved Jesus Christ. So if they wouldn't renounce in persecution, if they endured in persecution, were not suffering persecution. They endured persecution through Christ in them, the hope of glory. We're not being persecuted. We're facing Homer. We're facing Carl. We're facing Sarah every single day. I'm amazed with what Rex said. The chastisement of God is a wonderful thing. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to go into it. The first week of dialysis, I was so chastised by God. And it brought me to a place of repentance. I was in turmoil in my mind because of what I was going through. And I was so corrected by Him. And I'm telling you, don't get mad at me. Embrace this. Hear it. Learn from it. Grow in God. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop walking in self-pity. Stop walking depressed in mental anguish and in anxiety. Christians, we're born again in blood bought. There's no way in the world we should ever be in mental weakness. It's impossible. Now, you can be a Christian and abide in that, but you can't be a Christian that fellowships with Him and be stressed out. I don't care how many hours you work. I don't care how many kids you have. There's no such thing as depression or anxiety or mental weakness or stress in the kingdom of God if you have fellowship with the King. It is impossible. Are you with me? You might not agree with me, but it doesn't matter. The Word is the Word. It says in Philippians, "This I pray that you would be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." That is absolute, man. You can't negotiate with that. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, real quick. Starting in verse 1. And I'm amazed that Rex said, use the word chastisement. We're going to talk about it. The word chastisement means correction. Have ears to hear, man. Don't get mad at me. Have ears to hear. I'm going to quote the word of God and not give you one opinion. Starting in Hebrews 12, the whole book of Hebrews is people that have gotten born again, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, redeemed, names written in the Lamb's book of life, the life of God in them, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Jews were following them to get them to revert back to Mosaic law. They were justified by the blood, so if they would have gone back to Mosaic law, they would have been justified by law in their own eyes. No, but Paul said, if you revert back to being justified by the law, he said, you fall back into perdition. There goes once saved, always saved. He said, you're sanctified by the blood. But if you revert back to being justified by Mosaic law, he said, you will fall back into perdition. Look up the word perdition. Hebrews chapter 10. That is the main thrust of Hebrews. It annihilates the once saved, always saved doctrine. I know because I've been pounding Hebrews the last few days. Hours and hours of the book of Hebrews. Praying in the Spirit. Not even trying to figure it out. Just praying in the Spirit and going over it over and over again. And the image of it is growing inside of me. Are you with me? Hebrews 12. Listen to me. We're attacking emotions. Remember, the book of Hebrews was written to a church that was being persecuted. Are we being persecuted here in the States yet? Are we? Are we being persecuted yet? No. We're facing ourselves right now. So we have no excuse. So the writer of Hebrews says, some say it's Paul. I don't know who it was. It doesn't matter. But the writer of Hebrews says, let us run with endurance. The word endurance means intestinal fortitude. The name of this message is going to be Kingdom of God. No, the Gospel of the Kingdom of God in parentheses, intestinal fortitude. The Gospel of the Kingdom of God in parentheses, intestinal fortitude. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race, listen, that is set before us. What's the race that is set before you? Somebody help me. Okay, I'll give you the answer in the next verse. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you the answer of what the race is. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So what's the race that we run daily? The race of what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our... So what's the race that we run daily? We're supposed to run the race with what? Endurance. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You gotta have this picture. Why would he use Jesus? It's easy for us to revert in our mind, well, he's the Son of God. Yes. From heaven to the womb to a child to a teenager to a man to death, back to heaven again, Jesus has always been deity. There's never been one moment in his life where he has not been deity. Oh, that's just heresy for somebody to say that he's never been deity. He's always been deity. But here on earth, he was always deity, never denounced his deity, was never taken away from him. But the powers of his deity, he did not walk in. Everything he did, he overcame in his humanity. If the writer was saying Jesus overcame it by the powers of God, then why would he say Jesus endured? If you're God, you don't have to endure. He must have been saying, look at the human being, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of all Lords, always been deity, but he overcame as a man. That's why he had to endure. If he did it as God, the writer would never said God endured. No, God doesn't have to endure. God is endurance. Are you with me? Jesus overcame this as a man. If he overcame it as a man, if he showed intestinal fortitude, then guess who else can? Me and you. We're not being persecuted. All we face is ourselves. We have no excuse. Self-pity, stress, depression, mental anguish, anxiety, they are not the fruits of the Spirit, my friend. They are straight from hell. And I'm not being insensitive to you or to me. I've struggled with anger. That's an emotion. But it's going away. It's going away, but I'm here to help you. Don't get mad at me. Run with me. Let's encounter Jesus. Amen. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto a human being. All God and all man. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before us, the joy set before him. We were the joy set before him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Listen to this. Despising the shame. Listen carefully. Despising the shame. Yet he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Listen. Listen. Consider him. Consider who? Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. My God, my mind just went blank. Consider Jesus. What's the next verse? Okay. That endured. My God, I had all the... Who endured hostility from sinners to himself. Consider Jesus, who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you grow weary and discouraged in your souls. Remember that. Lest you grow weary or discouraged in your souls. Consider Jesus, who endured hostility from sinners against himself, lest you be weary and discouraged. Where? In your souls. Lest you be wearied or discouraged in your souls. Are you with me? Say it with me. Lest you be wearied or discouraged in your souls. He said, consider Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your enemies are not being hostile to you right now. The only thing you face is yourself right now. Is persecution coming? Oh, it's coming. You better believe it. Right now, we're considered outcasts. We can't even say that it's male and female anymore without being persecuted. We have an administration that's so anti-God. It's because their platform is anti-Bible. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about platforms that are anti-God. Boys turn into girls. Girls turn into boys. Drag queens reading books to our children. Hormone blockers to our children. Abortion up to the ninth month. If you're a Christian and you support that, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to do your funeral. I don't care if you get mad at me. That's so anti-God. If you know what they support and you support them, I'm scared for you. I'm scared for you. Because Hebrews says that our conscience has been perfected if we've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. It's hard for me to understand that you could be a born-again believer and support such a platform. Amen. Are you with me? Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest we grow weary and discouraged. Lest we grow weary and discouraged. In context, he's talking to the Hebrews saying, you're persecuted. Consider this. He's talking to us, but not about persecution, but about emotions, about self-pity, about anxiety, about stress, about mental weakness, depression. He's talking to us. We can overcome. They overcame persecution. We can surely overcome ourselves. Can I have an amen? Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and discouraged. Now listen carefully. I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to repeat what the writer said. I'm going to repeat what he said. I'm not saying that what you're going through is not hard to overcome. But in comparison, it's not. Because the writer said this in the next verse. You, Homer, Sarah, or Marty, Gay, Carl, you have not resisted unto bloodshed. You, Rex, you've not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. He said, you have not resisted against bloodshed, striving against sin. What he's referencing is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he sweated great drops of blood. You've never reached that point. You might think you're going through a hard time, but he, in humanity, endured the cross. He endured the Garden of Gethsemane. He endured the scourging post. He endured the cross. And then according to Acts 2, he rose from the dead. Acts says the dead that he rose from was Hades. The word Hades in the Greek means the final resting place for the evil. We know he wasn't evil, but he bore the sin of the world. He rose from Hades. I don't care if you agree with me or not. You better read your Bible more than once. Go through this chapter and go through the Psalms over and over again. Go through Deuteronomy chapter 4. You'll see it clearly. Jesus resurrected from Hades, the Greek, the final resting place of the evil. He said, Homer, but you have not resisted unto bloodshed. You're going through a hard time, Homer. Okay, here's the chastisement of God that Rex talked about. Homer, you're going through a hard time emotionally. You're blind. You're going through dialysis. In comparison to Jesus, in comparison to him, no, Homer, it's a light affliction. He didn't say, consider Homer, is the author and finisher of our faith. Homer's going through dialysis and he's blind. Consider him, he's making it. No. In comparison to what Jesus did, this is nothing. Nothing at all. Considering your job is 12 hours a day, that's nothing compared to what Jesus overcame. I got a child. I got 3 kids. I got a cook. I'm a wife. That's nothing in comparison to what Jesus endured. Are you with me? You're mighty quiet. Either you're being mighty witness to, or you just disagree with me, but it's okay. I'm preaching the truth. It's because you have not resisted. You have not resisted unto bloodshed, to striving against sin. None of us have. Remember what he said. As you become wearied and discouraging your souls, consider Jesus. You have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Don't be wearied and discouraged in your soul. Don't be wearied and discouraged in your soul. Remember that. That's vital that you remember that. Lest you be wearied and discouraged in your soul. Remember that. Now from verse 1 through 4 down to 12, he mentions the word correction or chastisement 7 times. The correction of God. Here's your correction. Consider him who endured such hostility among sinners against himself, lest you grow wearied and discouraged. For you have not, Homer, Rosie, you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, yet he endured in humanity. He showed intestinal fortitude that only comes by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Grace will sustain us if we have an ongoing relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you do not have a relationship with God, a continuing relationship, you will not have intestinal fortitude. You will give in to mental weakness because you have no choice, and it will tutor you. It will potter you, and you will become the emotions that you're going through. But if you wake up in the morning to encounter him, to experience him, to pray in the Spirit, to read your word, to confess God's word, to push back the plate and fast, you will endure whatever you go through. You won't even know you're going through it. The wind will be boisterous, the waves will rage, and the flesh will tell you the boat's about to sink, but you'll walk right through it. You'll sleep at the brow of the boat if you continue in your pursuit to be renovated by the gospel. Are you with me? So in verse 4 to verse 12, he mentions the word chastisement 7 times. The word chastisement is the word correction. He said this, consider Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, we were the joy set before him, endured the cross, not. Talked about hostility from sinners against himself. Lest you become weary and discouraged. For you, Homer, let me judge me. You have not resisted, Homer, unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Yeah, Homer, you are. For a brief moment, you're blind. For a brief moment, you're going through dialysis. But I do not have an excuse. I've never been flogged. I've never been marred more than any man. I've never hung on a cross. I've never been scourged. I've never gone to hell and resurrected. I'm saved because I believe in Jesus Christ. I did nothing. I didn't fast. I didn't pray. I didn't read the Bible to be born again. I just believed. I confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart that he came and died for my sin and gave me his standing. He gave me his life. And I know I can walk into him as much as I can. And I choose to every single day. I choose to get up by my free will offering. Whatever time I'll wake up, I'll get, whether it's 2 in the morning, whether it's 1 in the morning, whether it's 4, I get up and my instincts, my spiritual instincts are, go on and praise him, Homer, because he's worthy. That alone, when I get up to entertain my king, to give him praise, to give myself to the Holy Spirit, to give myself to the word, to confession, a grace is given to me. I feel a great grace working in my life right now, a great grace that I cannot explain. And I'll say this to you, just to edify you, and I say it with all, there's a grace in my life that takes me from dialysis to fasting on water to a treadmill an hour every single day. Almost every day. And it's easy from the treadmill to dialysis to fasting on water. And I'm strong every single day. Why? Because I'm something to know. There's a great grace in my life. In the words of Gary Carpenter, humble yourself. Humble yourself some more. Humble yourself even more. That alone, I constantly heard Gary Carpenter's voice all the time. Because God resists the proud. Listen. But gives what? But gives grace to the humble. I feel a grace in my life that I never knew existed. fasting has been a thorn in my flesh. But now, under this great grace that he's, because I humbled myself, I handle dialysis now like a cakewalk. I hit that treadmill for an hour like a cakewalk. I fast now on water. I have a hard time coming off now that fast. I don't get sick. I don't get flaky. I'm like the energizing Mexican bunny. Mufasa. I just get so excited. Just get so excited in the spirit. I cannot be stopped. Pastor Dave said one time, I would rather die at the feet of Goliath than die shaking in my armor, scared of a giant. Are you with me? And he said it so, he probably said it a lot better than I did, but I have no excuse, man. I am not a victim. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have every opportunity to take an offense. I have every opportunity to walk in self-pity or in depression. But you can't. Those are cuss words if you're in fellowship with God. Those things will not be attached to you. They cannot be when you wake up to believe the gospel. When you wake up to be with him. Those things cannot be a tick or a leash attached to you. It's a cuss word. They're not the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm urging you. I'm not preaching to you revelation. I'm preaching to you what's happening inside of me. There's a great grace in my life. But it came through hearing the voice of Gary Carpenter. Humble yourself. Humble yourself some more. And humble yourself some more. Make yourself of no reputation. Humble yourself and become obedient unto death. Where all my selfish ambition is eradicated. Where all my lusts in a broad sense are eradicated. Where Homer dies to Homer daily. And my spirit is so edified by the Holy Ghost. That's where I'm at right now. Where I don't think I'll be in dialysis very much longer, to be honest with you. They don't understand why they're not retained, why they're not taking water out of me. I got to drink water in dialysis because they dehydrate me, taking water out of me that I don't even have. So I got to drink a bottle of water and eat an apple in dialysis. It's just a matter of time because I believe the gospel and I'm believing it more and more every single day. Homer means nothing to me. Homer is but dung to me. As a servant of God, a G1401, a doulos, I've committed and I've concluded, and I'm concluding that I have no rights. The only right I have is to do his will. I die daily to self, and so should you. And that's only found in a place of intimacy, in a place where I wake up in the morning, Father, I just want to give you praise. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your grace and redemption through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. There's nothing that I can't walk through, Father. If the wind is boisterous and the waves are raging and the boat's about to sink, I'll cruise through it, Father, because your grace is upon me. And I can be just like Jesus and sleep on the brow of the boat because I've reached the other side. Are you with me? So from verse 5 through 11, he uses the word correction, or the word chastisement, 7 times. Remember that he said, be careful that you don't grow weary or discouraged. Where? In your what? In your soul. Homer, Marty, Rosie, Alex, I don't know if he's here, Natalie, Jacoby, Carl. Be careful that you don't grow weary or discouraged in your soul. Consider Jesus in humanity, who endured the cross. A human being had to endure. If he was talking about Jesus completely as God going through this, Jesus wouldn't have to endure. But he did it in his, all God, but he did it in his humanity. And because he had intestinal fortitude, because he had a relationship with Jesus, he cruised through it. Did it hurt? I'm sure it did. Grace doesn't take pain away. It just allows you to see the love of God is far more valuable than any pain you might feel. That's where I'm going, my friends. That's what I'm concluded. That's what I'm concluding. Amen. Hebrews 12. Remember what I said? Be careful, Carl. Be careful, Homer, lest you become weary or discouraged in what you're going through. Now he's talking to a persecuted church. Homer's not being persecuted. Carl's not being persecuted. All we do is face ourselves. Those eight spirits that Pastor Bronk talked about, I'm not scared of them because I'm in the Father. I don't have to worry about those eight spirits. I think he spoke the mind of Christ, but if you're in him, let them come. It doesn't matter. You're in him. Are you with me? So in verse 12, remember, I reiterate, being redundant for a reason. He said, be careful that you'll become wearied or discouraged in your souls. Don't be wearied or discouraged in your souls. Homer, what you're going through, you can be weary. You will be discouraged. Rosie is a mom that works, that cooks, that takes care of a husband they can't see, that takes care of an elderly mom. Rosie, don't be discouraged. Moms, you got a baby, you got a cook, you're a wife, it's okay. Don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary or discouraged in your soul. Okay, I think I made that point of you with me. Don't be discouraged where? In your soul, period. So he says in verse 12, wherefore, according to what I just said, and from verse 5 to 11, he uses the word chastise or correction 7 times. He says, wherefore, verse 12, according to the chastisement of God, this being the chastisement, you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did. You are not having people speak in a negative way about you. You have not had to endure the cross, the scourging post, or rising from the dead, or being mocked for 33 years. You have not had to endure that. What you're going through, though it might seem significant to you in comparison to what the Christ went through, it's extremely light affliction, Homer. I speak to myself. This is a light affliction. I should be able to cruise right through it, powered by the dunamis grace of God. Are you with me? So as a mom, as a father, as a husband, as one that works, great grace can be upon you if you stop making excuses and go to Jesus in sonship and in grace and just spend time with him. He will strengthen you. You'll walk by anything that you go through. Sleepless nights, you'll cruise through them. Now, you'll get tired. We're human beings. We'll get physically tired. There's nothing wrong with that. But, oh, my God, there should never be stress in our life. Never, never. You cannot be a born-again believer that fellowships with Jesus in sonship and under grace and go through distress or anxiety or depression or mental anguish or self-pity. There's no way in the world. No way. Period. Verse 12. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. That means it's time to close down. I'm about done, believe it or not. Wherefore, according to verse 1 through 11, you've not resisted unto bloodshed. Church, Homer, you've not resisted in what you're going through unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus did. He endured and overcame for the joy set before him. Who's the joy set before him? We were the joy set before him. The harvest. See us born again one day was a joy set before him. According to that, that you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. He said, it's time. Verse 11, verse 5 through 11, church, grow, have internal, have fortitude, have endurance. Wherefore? Wherefore? According to all that I said in verse 1 through 11, wherefore? Listen what he said. Listen carefully. Remember what I said. Don't grow weary in your soul or discouraged. Now he's going to say something so awkward. And I've had a hard time with Hebrews throughout the years, but I've got to figure it out now. He said, if you grow weary and discouraging your soul. He says, wherefore, all that I just said, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Remember what I said, lest you grow wearied and discouraged in your soul, for you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. And he says, wherefore, according to all that I just said, he says, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, so then that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather that it may be healed. Look at this now. I'm trying to paint the picture. Hands that hang down and feeble knees. What do I look like to you? Oh, man. A what? A person whose soul is wearied and discouraged. He said, now that I've corrected you, Homer, you felt sorry for yourself. You're blind. In the natural, in the spirit, I can see according to the gospel. Your kidneys, the doctor says that they won't recover, but in my eyes, you're healed. Moms, you're in torment. Working mom, you're discouraged. You got to work. You got to cook. You got to supply for you. You got to do all men of God. You got to work 12 hours a day. He said, no, listen. They overcame being persecuted. We should never, never, never have hands and hand down or feeble knees. He said, now that you've been corrected, strengthen the hands that hang down and those feeble knees, and make straight way paths for your feet, so then that which is dislocated may be healed. He's referencing your what? Help me. Your soul. Your soul is wearied and discouraged because you're showing no intestinal fortitude. Intestinal fortitude or endurance comes by grace. Grace is added to our life as we fellowship with him and humble ourselves. That's why he said, you're growing weary and you're discouraged. Verse 11, verse 5 through 11, he corrects the church. He said, now, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight path for your feet, so then that which is lame, it be not dislocated, but rather that it may be healed. He corrected us, and he's training us through the chastisement to get up, to march forward, and for our hands not to hang down, and for our feet not to be feeble, to grow up in him. And that soul that's so wearied and discouraged, that would be strengthened by his correction, by his chastisement, to get up the next day and to soldier. Are you with me? If you're wearied and you're discouraged, your soul, your hands are hanging down, your knees are feeble, and your soul is so lame right now, but the correction of God, it will train you to rise up no matter what you go through. I don't care how many hours you work. I don't care how many kids you got. I don't care if you are a working mom with a husband that's blind and a mom that's sick. You never have to be stressed out if you fellowship with Jesus Christ. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that which is dislocated, it may be healed. Your soul should never be wearied and discouraged. You are a son and a daughter of God. Are you with me? Christ Jesus endured the cross in humanity for the joy set before him. We were the joy that was set before him. Stress, anxiety, depression, mental anguish, self-pity, offenses, anger, they are a product of a man that's spiritually dead. We are not spiritually dead. We are spiritually alive, born of God to showcase him. The Holy Ghost works in us and through us, framing our world, praying the perfect prayer inside of us, purging us as we die daily. The Word of God renovates our mind. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let it renovate you. You got to hate yourself. Get in that prayer closet and desire change. You'll be a better mother. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better husband because your strength is by God's grace. You don't have to have hands that hang down. You don't have to have. You don't have to be lame in your soul. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be a basket case. You can be sincere and full of joy every single day of your life. Why? Because he did it in humanity. He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. We were his joy. Seeing Homer born again, seeing Harry born again, seeing Carl was born again, having this life in us was a joy set before him. The harvest of the world was a joy set before him. Wherefore, strengthen the hands that hang loud, strengthen the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet. So then that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather that it may be healed. The best that I understand it, he's talking about your soul that's wearied and discouraged. No, man, strengthen your hands that hang down. Strengthen them, man. Find that intestinal fortitude by that prayer time in Jesus Christ. Waking up in the morning just to embrace him. A lot of people worship being robotic. I just can't understand that. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. That's robotic, man. Listen to your spirit. Listen to the words of adoration out of your spirit. Father, oh, I praise you and thank you for the blood. My spirit, and like Gary says, in my body, belong to you. There's a grace in my life. Right now, even by what I eat, I put nothing at all. Blueberries, apples, salad, water. I put that in my, easily, not legalistically, not because I have to, because there's a grace in my life. I don't do it because I have to, or legalistically, I do it because there's a great grace in my life. And my life from the day now until I breathe my last breath will be strengthened by his grace, by his dunamis power to eat better, to live a lifestyle of fasting, to wake up in the morning to encountering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying those mysteries, allowing the Holy Spirit to frame my life, to pray the perfect will of prayer inside of me as he prays in me and through me for the glory of God. As I read his word for to renovate my mind, is why I live. I'm dying to Homer. I'm dying to offenses. I'm dying to what you think of me. I want you to like me. I want you to love me. But it's not a necessity in my life. I'm born again to love you. Beloved, let us love one another. There wasn't a clause that said, beloved, let us love one another. If they love you back, no, no, no. If you don't love me back, it does not change who he is inside of me. I am born again to love you. 1 John 3 says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Listen, and I'm done. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not a humanistic love that does me good, and I'll do you good back. It don't matter what you say about me. It don't matter how bad you treat me. It don't matter what you say. You can't take my peace. If you take my peace, I have the capacity for you to take my peace. You can't offend me. I've concluded, and I'm concluding every day, that you can't offend me. And if you offend me, no matter what you say to me, it's because I had the capacity to be offended. I will immediately, I won't even go to you. I won't even go to you if you offended me. I'll repent for being offended, and I'll shake it off my feet, and I'll encounter Jesus. It's not even worth talking to you about it. You offend me. If you offend me, I show that I have to die more and grow in spirit. I'll be embarrassed to tell someone. If I got to go to Harry and say, Harry, you offended me, to me that's embarrassing. But I'm going to Harry saying, Harry, I'm childish. You offended me. That's embarrassing, man. That's embarrassing. I'll keep it to myself, repent, and walk on my journey of being renovated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. My hands will not hang down. My knees will not be feeble. I will make straight paths for my feet, by my feet, so then that which is lame will not be dislocated, but rather that it may be healed. It's referencing your soul. It's time to show intestinal fortitude, which is a word endurance defined. The more we wake up and spend time with Jesus in sonship, not out of fear, not out of want, but out of sonship, because we're redeemed by his blood, just out of grace. I refuse to pray out of fear. I will not pray out of fear. I won't pray to get healed. I pray because I am a son of God. I read my Bible to be renovated into the image of Christ. I pray in the Spirit to be renovated in my mind. I pray to be a walking epistle in this world. I want you to like me. I want you to love me, but it's not a necessity for me. You can't offend me. I've concluded, and I'm concluding, and my hands will not hang down. My knees will not be feeble, because I will not grow weary and discouraged in my soul. I will not, because I've considered Jesus the author and finisher of my faith. For the joy set before him in humanity endured the cross. If he can endure the cross, if those where Kurt went for a mission trip can endure persecution, I would be a coward, a spiritual coward, if I could endure myself. Are you with me? I am not a coward. I die daily. I pray to God that that's your heart. That you die daily. Amen. Some of you, in your mind, this is, you're fighting this. You're fighting this. But what I just preached is absolute. And not 1 ounce of apology will be given. Because I taught it to myself. I've made excuses. I've had anger in my life. I've been partial. Those days have ceased and are ceasing. My hands will not hang down. My knees will not be feeble. My soul will not be wearied and discouraged. Why? Because I am a son of God. And I have fellowship with the Master every single day. Why? Because I love him. I'm dying every single day to self-centeredness. I'm dying every single day to self. And I'm putting on the Lord Christ Jesus. He is my Savior. I'm redeemed by his blood. Born again, Holy Ghost filled, tongue-talking, King James reading, born again believer. And I fast. Now, I have a plan to fast for the rest of my life. Praying in tongues has done wonders for me. Nobody understands it, because they don't go through all of 14. They read a couple of verses and say, oh, you need an interpreter. No, you don't. They're tongues of self-edification. Read, there's diversities of tongues, different kind of tongues. Now, Pentecostals get crazy praying in tongues out loud like they got no sense. Praying in tongues for self-edification is a gift that you pray underneath your breath. Don't go crazy with it and scare people. It's got to be proper protocol in the church. Amen. I love all of you, whether you believe it or not. I want you to love me back, but it's not a necessity in my life. Thank God for his word. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And thank God that our soul does not have to grow weary or faint or discouraged. Can we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Our faith is a race that is set before us. Let's finish it with diligence, with endurance. Amen. Man, I pray to God that these words minister to you. If they didn't, And I preached it with love, mercy, and compassion, with a hope that you grasp this. If they didn't, go home tonight and ask yourself, why didn't they? What in you is working that opposes the purity of the gospel of the kingdom? What was it? Repent. Humble yourself in the voice of Gary Carpenter. And humble yourself some more. And then humble yourself some more in his presence. Make yourself of no reputation. Become humble yourself and become obedient unto death. Now Jesus, they said, even the death of the cross. Count your life but dung to know him and the power of the resurrection. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. I think Ralph said the offering buckets are in the back, so we're going to pray. You'll be dismissed. Thank you for coming out, Pastor Brown. We'll be back Sunday morning. I did talk to him. Oh, by the way, Andrea Cantor. Everybody knows Andrea Cantor? She passed away. Just, it happened out of the blue. She took the turn for the worse, so Pastor called me, and she passed away. Andrea Cantor. She passed away today or last night, but she passed. Pastor called me and told me that today. So just so you'll know that, keep the family in prayer, that the peace of God will saturate that family. I pray that he would send for the laborers that preach Jesus. They don't need Joe comforters. They need people that preach Jesus in love. Amen. So, Father, I bless you. I love you, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the times of correction. Well, you corrected me, Father, by your word, and I love it. You train me by your correction. And my hands do not hang down, and my knees are not feeble, Father. But you've healed my soul that was weary, fainted, and discouraged. But I looked unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. For the joy set before me endured the cross. I easily endure what I'm going through, Father. And I thank you for the beloved, for the brethren, that also that this word pricked their hearts, Father. And they realize that they're more than conquerors through your blood and through your spirit. I thank you, Father God, for Pastor Brown that comes back Sunday. I thank you, Father, for the offering that we're going to put in the offering plate. I know for sure that that money is sown in good ground. So on your way out today, if you have something to give, just drop it in the back. God bless you. See you soon.